chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Let's pray. Father, help us now this morning to preach. Give us power and liberty. Father, I pray that you might remove the blindness and the shackles of the devil this morning from every heart in this place. And may we, by the grace of God, look into our heart and search ourselves to know our condition and our standing before thee. My Father, if we be lost, if we be deceived, even though we be religious, I pray you might reveal that truth to us this morning. Give us grace this day to receive Christ Jesus as our Savior, that we might miss hell, that we might spend eternity with thee, and that we might give what remains of our life to thy service for thy honor and thy glory. Now, Father, we ask these things in the name of Christ and for his sake. Amen. Now, it's a very simple little story, but it has a number of places in it that make great illustrations for man's lost condition and what God wants to do for us. And so I'm going to take that little story this morning and illustrate the grace of God. And the message this morning is entitled, "By Grace Through Faith." Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 said, "For by grace are you saved, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, and not of works, lest any man should boast." And this little story illustrates by grace through faith. Now, in order to get started, let's look at the thing and look at each verse and point out some things in it that are parallels to our human condition. Now, in verse 46, you note the condition of this man. He is blind. He cannot see. You may behold the flowers and the sun and see the wind in the top of the trees. You may look across the jagged bluffs and watch the ocean crash on the nearby shore. You may watch the ripples in the brook as it bubbles by. You can behold all the wondrous and beautiful things in the world. You can see the light in a baby's eye and the smile on its little pink lips. But blind Bartimaeus has never seen anything. One born blind. What a tragic condition to be in. Yet, you and I, like blind Bartimaeus, were born blind. We were born spiritually blind. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, the Bible said, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not." And so just as surely as Bartimaeus was born blind, you too were born blind. There's a physical blindness and there's a spiritual blindness. And you'll see that it's just as real a blindness and just as crippling and just as debilitating. While you see the blind man walk with his little cane tapping as he goes, or perhaps with a seeing eye dog and has to have some kind of assistance to cross a street or to navigate about and has to count his steps and all that to find out where they're at and to know where they're at geographically. Just as surely as that's true for the person who is physically blind, you can see it just as real in those who are spiritually blind. Because when you bring up any kind of a spiritual subject, when you bring up the things of God or the things of the Bible, they just never can see it. It's like talking to a blind man. You can point out what is blatantly obvious to the most carnal spiritual person, a newborn babe in Christ, and because their eyes have been opened, they see. And when somebody gets saved, they begin to say, "Oh, I saw this, and I hadn't been saved hardly any time, and I began to see this." And God begins to deal with them, and they see things spiritually that they had never, ever seen before. But when you deal with an unsaved person, they just can't see it. When you talk to them about the beauty and the power and the majesty and the miraculous thing of the Word of God and the preservation of the Bible, they don't see it. It just comes out of the history book. It comes out as just a piece of literature. They're not overly impressed. When you talk to them about the gifts of the Spirit and the comfort that God gives us and the peace that He puts in His heart, they've never experienced it, and it's an unknown quantity to them. And they find no joy in it. They find no solace for their heart in it. They just don't see it. Their problem is they're blind. If you've never been saved, you were born blind and you were blinded by the God of this world. Now in verse 47, you see this man's cry. He said, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, there's a couple of things about that. One, Bartimaeus may have been blind, but he wasn't retarded. And he may have been blind, but he was not unaware of what was going on in the world around him. Now, he'd never seen Jesus, but he must have heard about Jesus. For why else would he have cried out to him and known that he was the Son of David if he had not heard from somebody about Jesus? Amen? Now, that's a wonderful thing. Here is blind Bartimaeus. He has a terrible condition. He wants to be delivered. He desires to be delivered. And there is no doctor that can give him his sight. Education won't fix him. Philosophy can't fix him. Science can't fix him. He's a hopeless case. But somebody has been witnessing about Christ. Somebody has been telling the story of all the wonderful and the marvelous things that Jesus Christ has done. And when Bartimaeus hears the name of Jesus, this old boy comes unglued. I mean, he lost it. He about had a hissy fit. He thought, the Messiah is coming. He's coming my way. The one whom I've heard about. The one who has raised the dead and unstopped the ears of the deaf. Who has loosed the string of the tongue of the those who are impaired in their speech. He's coming my way. Perhaps if I can see him. Perhaps if he comes today. Perhaps if I can get close to him. He can open these blinded eyes. And hope begins to build in the heart of blind Bartimaeus. And it's all because somebody has been faithful, somebody has been diligent to tell the story of the wonderful things that Jesus of Nazareth has done. Bartimaeus knew about Christ before Christ came. Somebody had plowed the fallow ground. Somebody had planted the seed. Somebody had spread the word. Boy, we need God's people doing just that. Now, I don't know where Bartimaeus heard. I don't know where he heard the story. I don't know who told it to him. But it's obvious that somebody did. So it was an anonymous witness. Somebody probably told Bartimaeus about him and went on his way and forgot all about it. Maybe they left him a gospel tract. Or maybe they told what Jesus had done for them. Or maybe perhaps they told what Christ had done for somebody else. But whatever it was, Bartimaeus heard. He heard. And it's critical that the world hear. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And how shall they hear without a preacher? Now that's not a pulpiteer. That's me and you. That's you and you and you and you and you and you. Getting outside there at the workplace and on the streets and in the malls and in the grocery stores and telling folks about Jesus Christ, what He did for you, what He did for somebody you know. Telling the story and bragging on Him and testifying about Him. And the world needs to hear. Why? Because that's how faith is generated. The Word of God produces faith in the hearts of those that hear it. And it cannot work. It will not work. Nobody will be saved. Nobody's life will be changed if they do not first hear about Jesus Christ. So when you're hesitant to be a witness, when you don't open your mouth, when you think, oh, that's the preacher's job. That's Brother Lewis's job. Well, it is my job, and it is Brother Lewis's job, but it is also your job. Every disciple was commanded to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Not just some, all. It is your duty, it's your commission, your obligation, your privilege to be able to tell a lost and dying world about Jesus Christ. In verse 47, you see the craving of Bartimaeus. He said, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. What did old Bartimaeus want? He wanted mercy. And he had heard that God was the God of mercy, that He looked on those who were afflicted, and those who were diseased, and those who were in pain, and those who hurt, and showed mercy on them. In Exodus chapter 20 and verse 6, the Bible said, and showing mercy unto thousands that love Him and keep His commandments. Luke 18:13 said, and the publican standing afar off would not so much as lift up his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, Lord, be merciful unto me, a sinner. Part of the message we have to tell the world is that no matter what your condition, no matter what your state, no matter what you're going through, no matter how messed up you are, God is a God of mercy. He is a God of forgiveness. He is a God of love. And that if you'll call upon His name, fall at His feet in repentance and faith, God will have mercy and forgive you. We need to tell the world about the judgment of God. We need to warn them to flee from the wrath to come. But we got to give them some place to go. He cries out for mercy. Boy, I thank God He didn't cry out for justice. Justice, if you got what you justly deserve, we'd all be in hell today. Amen. Say, why? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. The wages of sin is death. If you got justice, you would perish without mercy. Don't ever ask for justice. Fall on your face and plead for mercy, and God will be merciful. And so he cries out because he wants mercy. Then, in Luke 18:13, the publican stands, you know, and the big shots are up there, and they're lifting up their voice and all that, and bragging, oh, I thank Thee, O Lord, I'm not as other men. I tithe of all that I have. I fast twice. Bragging and proud. And the old publican, the Bible said he would not so much as lift up his face toward heaven, but smote upon his breast and said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. He knew his condition. He knew what he was. He knew what bad shape he was in, and knew what he needed was mercy. And that old publican, the Bible said, and he went down justified rather than the other. See how to find mercy with God. Be honest. Be humble. Admit that you're a sinner. Admit that you're a transgressor. Don't put on airs. Don't thank God that you're so good and so high and so holy. There's none good but one, and that's God. You can't match Him. You're no equal. You can't get up there. The thing to do is humble thyself. and God will be merciful. I like it when the old publican goes down justified. Somebody said, what does justified mean? Just as if I had never sinned. To be justified means that God has found some way to clear you of the things you were guilty of. Now, it's not the same as being innocent. I heard a preacher on the radio the other day saying when you got saved, God made you innocent. You ain't been innocent since you was 3. Amen. But you can be justified. You can be forgiven. You don't need to forgive the innocent. You don't need to justify the innocent. See? We're sinners. We're sinners. And we've been justified. We were found guilty and then pardoned. We were found guilty and somebody else paid our price. We were found guilty and somebody had mercy. We were found guilty and somebody showed compassion. But the key in the whole thing was, I'm guilty. I'm guilty. I'm guilty. Look in verse 49. I love this. In verse 49, and Jesus stood still. Isn't it a marvelous thing that the cry of one blind sinner can stop the Lord of glory in his tracks? I have no idea what all Jesus has to do all day long. But looking at the universe that he controls and the number of its inhabitants and the stars and the far-flung reaches of space, he looks like a busy man to me. Yet, unlike us, when we get busy, we don't have time for the little things and we don't have time for the little people. We don't have time for the little problems of the day. We'll deal with that later, or we'll assign somebody else to deal with that because we're too big, we're too important, we're too busy, we're too preoccupied. But here the Lord of glory, who sustains the creation by the word of his power, hears the whimpering cry of a decadent sinner pleading, Jesus, have mercy on me, and the Lord of glory stopped. That's awesome. That's awesome. The great I am stopped to hear the cry of a lost man. A little blind man in a nowhere place. A little blind man with no reputation. A little blind man with no intellect and no fame. A little blind man with no money. Just a little nobody. But he had a need. And Jesus had a heart. And he wanted mercy. And God is full of grace. And he heard the cry of the sinner. And he stopped. More one night. March the 4th, 1972, Lot 15, Briarwood Trailer Park, Meridian, Mississippi, United States of America, planet Earth. This old sinner bowed his head and cried, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And up in heaven, the great God, the great I am, the great sustainer of all that is, stopped and heard the prayer of this sinner. And when I said, Lord, save me, Jesus said, I will. And it did. 34 years ago, I stopped Jesus in his tracks. Not because I was anybody, because he has a heart of love that you and I cannot imagine. He cares beyond imagination. God so loved the world that he gave. He was willing to die. He gave all there is. There's no greater price. All because he loved you and you and you and me. Bartimaeus calls and Jesus stopped. Not only that, Bartimaeus is there blind and alone, fearful, anxious and hopeful, but fearful. And Jesus stopped. And then you know what he did? He called for the blind man. He said, bring him to me. Now, no man cometh unto the Father except the Spirit draw him. You don't get saved without a call. You don't come into the presence of the King without a call. People say, oh, I'll get saved anytime I want to. I'm going to get saved next Sunday, or when I get this and that and the other thing, I'm going to get... It don't work like that. You come into the presence of the King when the King bids you come. It's like over in the book of Esther, you know. Esther's getting ready to go into... Or not Esther, but... Esther. She's getting ready to go into the King's presence. And if the King doesn't hold out the royal scepter, they're going to take her out and kill her. You don't just come into the presence of royalty. You have to be requested in, permitted in. And so Esther was full of fear and dread, because if she comes in and the King doesn't acknowledge her, she's history. Amen? You don't just go rushing in anytime you want to. But she eases in and the King spies her and he holds out the scepter. Listen, when you come to King Jesus, he's got the call. You don't come into his presence just anytime you want to, unbidden. Amen. People say, well, you can get saved right here and right now. You know, soul winners do that. Say, why is that? Because when we witness and a person comes under conviction, when the Holy Spirit does a work in their heart, that is the call. But you would never get them there, and you could never get them to call. There would be no conviction on their face. There would be no sweat on their brow. There would be no fear in their heart. There would be no hope in their soul if God hadn't spoken to them. They would be just like any other blind, lost man without hope, living in despair. So that you can honestly say, when they get under conviction and you see that God is dealing with them, if you call on His name, save you, because at that time He will, because you have been called. But don't take it for granted. It may not be there the next time. I witnessed to many a person and not saw one thing. He was called. Now look down at verse 50. And casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Oh, in Revelation he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And we see the pictures, you know, that the door is open and the Lord is standing there with his hand outstretched. That's a good picture. That's what he does. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. Excuse me. Say, why? Well, many are called, few are chosen. Larry Brown said, many are called and few are frozen. What's that? Buddy had a friend. Yeah. Anyway, I forget where I was. Verse 50. In verse 50, it said, and he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Now, the Lord called. The Lord called. The Lord of glory called. So what happens? Here's a sinner, robed in his own self-righteousness. That's where most people are, you know. You know why folks can't get saved, why they have such a hard time with it? They're self-righteous. They think they're okay. They think they're as good as the next fella. I had a lady the other day, went over and got my taxes filled out, and I got money back this year. Glory to God. Jesus loved me. Wasn't much, but I better than paying like usual. Anyway, I was talking to her. She's filling out my taxes and stuff. And I probably should have been quiet because I don't want to make no mistakes. But they got that machine now that does everything for me anyway. Anyway, I'm talking to her. And she said, well, she knew she was all right because she was a pretty good person. She said, I try to be a good person. I try not to cheat or, you know. And I'm sure this girl is. She's a very nice lady. But got nothing to do with getting her home to glory. Absolutely nothing. But that's what she's counting on. She said, I think the Lord's going to take care of me. I think everything's going to be all right with me. I thought, my goodness, lady. What a tragedy that such a nice person. Loves her children, loves her husband, works hard. She's honest, moral, all those kind of things. She's a nice lady. She ain't good enough to get home to glory by herself. Amen. Now, in verse 50, Bartimaeus cast his garment away. He throws away his goodness and his righteousness. You know what a sinner's got to do? You got to throw away that robe of self-righteousness. You got to get rid of that thing. Well, I'm as good as. I'm better than some. As good as some. And looking up to some. You got to get rid of all that nonsense. You know what you got to do to get saved? You got to take God at His word and believe what He said about you. And He said, there's none good, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You have to believe what He said, then you have to do what He said. I heard a story one time. This colored fella, this black fella, I can't say colored anymore. Pretty soon you won't use, be able to use the B word either. You know, you can't use the C word now. And you don't dare use the N word. Pretty soon we're going to be sign language because you can't say anything. Anyway, this colored fella, this is back in the 1860s, he got religion. They used to have these bush arbors. And a lot of the darkies would go and they'd get religion. A lot of them were Methodists and some Baptists, you know. Well, this old boy went down and he got religion. And he really got a truckload. It changed his life. And he quit moaning and groaning about his slavery and his hard life and his station and plight in life. And he really got generated, put a song on his lips, put joy in his heart. And his slave owner noticed the difference in him. And so after a couple of weeks when it didn't go away, the old slave owner come by and he said, Sam, he said, what in the world happened to you? He said, you're just different than you used to be. He said, oh, yeah, sir, so is. He said, I got the law. He said, I went down to the brush arbor meeting there a couple of nights and I got religion. He said, and Jesus live in my heart. Well, the old slave owner said, well, that's good, Sam. It's made you a better man. And he goes on about his business. Well, it bothered the slave owner, though. He got under conviction from the joy and the peace this old black gentleman had. And so a few days later, he's watching and he come by and he said, Sam, he said, tell me, he said, what's a man got to do to get religion like you've got? And Sam said, oh, sir, I said, ain't nothing to it. He said, listen, he said, all you got to do, he said, you see that fence right there? He said, of course. He said, you see the hog wallow on the other side? He said, of course. He said, just get up on that fence and jump in. He said, you crazy old darky. And he let him have it, you know, and he went on his way. Well, God was dealing with the old boy's heart, and he couldn't shake it off. He was under real Holy Ghost conviction. And so a couple of weeks come by, and old Sam, just happy as he's out in the yard saying, swang low, sweet chariot, and all that. And Sam's just having the time of his life. And so the fellow come by and said, Sam, I said, I need to see you a minute. So they kind of walk off someplace, you know, and he gets Sam over there. He said, now, Sam, he said, now, listen. He said, seriously, he's on the level. He said, just between me and you. He said, what I got to do to get religion like you've got? He said, boss, he said, I done gone and told you. He said, just get right up on that fence over there by the hog wallow and said, just leap in. Well, the old man got fierce and he slapped Sam and stomped off. A few days go by, and boy, God is just wearing this slave owner out. I mean, just wearing him out. The guy can't sleep. He can't eat. He's irritable. He's hateful to everybody. I mean, everything's just going to hell in a handbasket. And finally, he looks old Sam up late one afternoon. He said, Sam, he said, I'm asking you for the last time. He said, I want you to tell me the truth, Sam. What I got to do to get religion like you got? And Sam said, Master, he said, you see that fence over there by the hog wallow? He said, you need to get up on that fence and just leap in. Man, the old guy turned around, run over there, got up on top of the fence and just jumped in the hog wallow. And Sam is hot on his tail and he's chasing him. And he said, Master, Master, Master. He said, you don't really got to leap in. He said, you just got to be willing to. You got to put action to what you believe. Amen. And so, Barnabas, boy, he cried. And the Lord said, okay, bring him. And Barnabas gets up and he comes to Jesus. It is not enough to hear the story. It is not enough to know the detail. It is not enough to believe it. That's all that receive him, to them gave he power to become the Son of God, even to them that believe on his name. It's not just an academic thing. It's not a mental thing. It's a me surrendering myself and giving my life to him. And I'm going to be a new person and live different after I come to Jesus. I'm not going away blind. I came blind. I leave whole. I came as a dead man, dead in trespasses and sin. I leave a new creature created in Christ Jesus. I'm here to tell you, when you get saved by God's grace, when you get saved by God's grace, you're different. Nobody on this planet could have looked at Bartimaeus and not known that something radical, something cataclysmic, something catastrophic had happened in the life of Bartimaeus. God, I believe when you get saved, folks know it. Folks know it. They might not understand it. They may not like it, but they know it. If you didn't have something to change your life, you ain't got much. Somebody say amen. Cast your righteousness away and get the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now, verse 50, it said, "And he, casting his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And all that come unto me I will in no wise cast out." Now he could have stood afar off, knowing the truth, seeing it clearly. Now see, Calvin's never going to get this. He could see Christ. He could know the story, believe that it was true, believe it in his heart, and perished without God and without hope and went straight to a devil's hell. Say, why? Because to as many as received Him, all that come unto me, there has to be a performing of what you believe. Faith is not a dead word. It's a verb. It shows action. And when you have faith in Christ, it means you're willing to come to Christ. It means you're willing to depend on Christ. It means you trust in Him. It's a relationship, and it changes the way you live. And when it doesn't do that, what you got was a satanic counterfeit. Yeah. But not old blind Bartimaeus. He arose and came. I remember the night I got saved. Boy, I was under conviction something awful. I remember old William R. Pace. He had brought this tape by the deacon of Bourbon Street, Bob Harrington. And Bob Harrington was preaching. He was giving his testimony, talking about when he got saved. And I'm telling you the honest truth, but it's like everything Bob Harrington said was, it was for me. When he got through that little tape, I was sitting there, I was a wreck. And Bill Pace looked at me and said, "Bob," he said, "why don't you trust Christ?" He said, "why don't you get saved?" Bowed my head that night and gave my heart to Jesus Christ. And He saved me. That's what you have to do. Oh, I had to cast my garment away. And I had to get up and come to Him. He stands at the door and knocks. But you have to come. Amen. Too many people want it to be right here. It's intellectual. It's philosophical. But they don't want to. They don't want the performing of it. They don't want to have to come to Christ. They don't want to have to acknowledge their wickedness and their sinfulness. They don't want to have to humble themselves. They don't want to throw away their own self-righteousness. They want to be able to believe in their head and that get the job done. And it doesn't get the job done. You got to be willing to get on the fence and jump in the other side. Now he arose and came to Jesus. And then there was a 20-year process whereby he worked out his own salvation with fear and trembling. That ain't what it said. When he got up and came, you know what it said? Immediately. You ever look at that word immediately in the Bible sometime? Boy, there's some interesting immediately's. Remember the night they were out on the stormy sea? Jesus was asleep in the boat, and they were fearful and thought they were going to perish. You know what it said? After the Lord gets up and rebukes them and all that, He said, and immediately they were on the other side. You know how long it takes to go from hell to heaven, from sinner to saint, from lost to saved, from unrighteous to righteous, from a child of the devil to a child of the King? Immediately. I mean, right now, son, I ain't got to pray through and work through and do good deeds for the next 40 years and eat pluribus unum, you know, my father bigger than your father and all that nonsense. I don't have to do none of that. When I got saved, God transformed
me from a sinner to a saint immediately. Saved. I'm sealed. I'm sanctified. I'm a child of the King. I got born into the world.
One of the greatest words in the Bible is found there in verse 50. And came to Jesus. It'd be the best thing you ever did. That's the best thing anybody ever did. Say, well, I've got my life ahead of me and I've got to go to school. I've got to go to college. I've got to get a job. I've got to make money. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What if you delay getting saved? What if you delay giving your heart to Christ and one, he never calls again? Or you perish, lost. You have all this world has to offer and you die and spend eternity in hell. Well, where is the profit in all that? There is none. You have no guarantee that he'll call again. You have no guarantee you'll have another opportunity. You have no guarantee that you won't die this very day. I'm telling you, when God speaks to your heart, the thing to do is respond. And he came. Now, you got to remember why he came. Look down in verse 51. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what will thou that I should do unto thee? God wants to know why you're coming. Now, y'all probably heard me preach, if you come to this church for any amount of time, that why you come is important. I've seen people come down in a service crying, tears running down their face, snot running down their lips. I mean, they're just a wreck. They're shaking and trembling. They're just boo-hooing. You say, oh, glory to God. Glory to God. God has got them under conviction. And they come down here and they kneel and they pray. And you try to work with them and this, that, and the other. And oh, they love God. They just got saved. They're born again and this, that, and the other. And you never see them again. Or you see them once or twice and they're gone. You say, what happened? I mean, I was just convinced that they really got something. You see, what happens a lot of times, they're cutting a deal. They didn't come for salvation. They came for deliverance. The wife's got cancer, and so the husband is praying, Lord, I'll serve you with all my heart if you'll just cure cancer. Lord, my children are going astray. If you'll straighten my kids out and get them out of trouble, I'll be a faithful servant. They're cutting a deal. The Lord asked Bartimaeus, what'd you come for? What'd you come for? I'm here to tell you that a lot of times what folks come for is not the right thing. Bartimaeus said, I came that I might receive my sight. He said, I'm blind and I want to see. I know what I'm coming for. You got to come as a sinner and say, I'm lost without God and without hope. I'm dead in trespass and sin. And I'm coming that I might have eternal life. What wilt thou that I do unto thee? Save me, Lord. Save me. Wash me in the blood of the Lamb. Make me a new creature. Open thou my blinded eyes. That's what you got to go for. You don't come down here to get your marriage put back together. You don't come down here and cut a deal. You come down here because you're headed to hell. You come down here because you're without God. You're down here because there's no hope. You're coming down here because you're going to perish without God. This is the only place you can find salvation. This is the only place where there's deliverance. This is the only place you can get that spiritual new birth. The only place you can get your spiritual eyes open is at the foot of the cross. What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Save me, Lord. That's why you come. Maybe God will put your marriage back together. Maybe he won't. Maybe God will cure your cancer. Maybe he won't. Maybe God will help your kids. Maybe he won't. I don't know. That ain't why we come. Now you talk to him about things like that after you get saved. But that ain't how you get right with God. You got to come when he calls, casting away your garments and acknowledging why you came. Tell him what you're looking for. Boy, when you do that, God will save. Now look at verse 52. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Wasn't no process there, was it? He didn't have to believe and get baptized. He didn't have to partake of the sacraments. He didn't have to do good deeds and alms for 39 years. He was not required to join the church. None of those things. Now, you ought to probably do a lot of those things after you get saved, but it got nothing to do with getting cleaned up. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately received his sight. Salvation is instantaneous. That's the reason the new translations that say grow up unto salvation, they're wrong. They're wrong. It said, and followed Jesus in the way. I'm in the way, the bright and shining way. So what are you doing? I'm following Jesus. I got a leader. I'm not a wanderer. I'm a pilgrim. Amen? I'm not lost. I'm on the way. I know where I'm at, and God knows where I'm at. I'm headed for Beulah land. I'm headed to Canaan land. I'm on my way to glory. I'm heaven bound. With a hammer down. Say, why? Because I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I'm here to tell you today, if you're blind, if you're spiritually blind, if you take away your garment of self-righteousness, and come to Jesus and receive Him by faith, He will save you and open your eyes and make you that new creature and give you that eternal life and put joy in your heart so that when you sing those songs and you hear the Word of God and you hear the songs of Zion, there'll be a rejoicing to you. And after you get saved, you do what Barnabas did. And follow Jesus in the way. You see, I believe there's life in Christ after salvation. I believe when folks get saved, there's a desire in their heart to follow the Lord. I think there's a desire in the heart of people who are saved to tell somebody else what Jesus did for them. Every time you read about it in the Bible, every time God did something, every time the Lord Jesus Christ did something, they want to go tell somebody. It's just a natural thing. I mean, it's just a natural response. Man, when I got saved, I won't tell everybody in the world. I just don't believe you can get saved and not want to share it with somebody. Amen? And I think when you get saved, you want to follow Jesus. Now, your following may not be perfect. You may stumble and grope here and there. You may slip and fall. But you always find the way again, and you always follow back in it. I believe that. Now somebody's going to say, well, preacher, I thought you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I do. I believe that. But I believe it has to be from your heart. And I think when it's from your heart, it'll make you different. I think when you get saved, you get converted. Amen. I think when you get saved, you're a new creature. That's what I think. That's what the Bible says. I just got no confidence at all. I got no confidence at all. I got no confidence at all. In a person who makes a little profession of faith, who never changed their life, who never changed their direction, and who does not make some attempt to follow Jesus in the way. I think there's a lot of folks running around professing to be Christians. They're going to die and go to hell just as sure as there's a God in glory. Now don't ask me who they are, I don't know. But I'm suspicious of a lot of folks. Amen. Now the question here this morning is this. The question is not were you born blind, you were. The question is not are you a sinner, you are. The question is, what are you going to do about it? Will you come to Jesus Christ that He might give thee thy sight? Now if you're willing to do that, He'll have grace and mercy. But you've got to have the faith to believe Him and avail yourself of His grace. God does His part, then you have to do yours. God makes Christ available, God calls, God invites, God illuminates the mind, God makes it real to you. That's as far as God can go. The next response is yours. It's got to be, you got to get up, arrive, and come to Him. And you sit where you're at, and after a while, He'll withdraw the invitation, and He'll depart. And you'll perish. Let's bow our head. Now, Father, we thank You this morning for Your goodness and Your mercy and Your grace. We thank You that You put these little stories in there to illustrate. Thank you.